And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, yesterday, a busy day here in North Carolina, a late night Wilmington City Council meeting rolled on until almost or close to midnight. A lot to get into this morning, and we'll get into the rest of that throughout the week. Tropics heating up a lot to get and break down this morning. But we're really going to focus today on the United Nations. President Donald Trump addressed the General Assembly of the UN yesterday, and I included this as my morning take in the Nick Craig Show email, the morning line email that is completely free. You can sign up for that, nickcraig.com/morningline, completely free, delivered at around 6:30 each and every weekday morning. It is great. And one of the reasons that myself, and I think I'll attribute this to many of you as well, one of the reasons that you like somebody like Donald Trump, or even Donald Trump himself, is when he's in situations like he was yesterday at the United Nations, when he is surrounded by an entity like the UN, which I'm sure, like many of you, I don't have a great opinion of the UN as an overall general organization. You know that Donald Trump is going to show up. He's not going to pander. He's not going to cowtail to the United Nations because, oh, it's the UN and I've got to be nice to the UN. He is going to show up. He's going to lay down the law. He is going to be blunt, and he was incredibly blunt about a variety of matters at the UN yesterday. We'll get into a bunch of clips from him. That's one of the things that I really like and appreciate about President Donald Trump. That is one of the things that when I see that he's speaking at the UN or when he's traveling internationally, he was just in Europe just last week. That is one of the things that I really like and appreciate about President Donald Trump. You don't have to worry about the United States getting steamrolled on these international stages. You know that when he's there, whether you agree with what he's saying or not, he is going to stand up for the United States, and he is not going to pander or bow down to these massive one-world government globalist organizations, which is exactly what the United Nations is. And it didn't take the president long into his comments to tee off on the UN. This is how he opened his commentary yesterday morning, I should say.
6 years have passed since I last stood in this grand hall and addressed a world that was prosperous and at peace in my first term. Since that day, the guns of war have shattered the peace I forged on two continents. An era of calm and stability gave way to one of the great crises of our time. And here in the United States, 4 years of weakness, lawlessness, and radicalism under the last administration delivered our nation into a repeated set of disasters. 1 year ago, our country was in deep trouble. But today, just 8 months into my administration, we are the hottest country anywhere in the world, and there is no other country even close. America is blessed with the strongest economy, the strongest borders, the strongest military, the strongest friendships, and the strongest spirit of any nation on the face of the earth. This is indeed the golden age of America. We are rapidly reversing the economic calamity we inherited from the previous administration, including ruinous price increases and record-setting inflation, inflation like we've never had before. Under my leadership, energy costs are down, gasoline prices are down, grocery prices are down, mortgage rates are down, and inflation has been defeated. The only thing that's up is the stock market, which just hit a record high. In fact, it hit a record high 48 times in the last short period of time. Growth is surging, manufacturing is booming. The stock market, as I said, is doing better than it's ever done. And all of you in this room benefit by that, almost everybody. And importantly, workers' wages are rising at the fastest pace in more than 60 years. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? In 4 years of President Biden, we had less than $1 trillion of new investment into the United States. In just 8 months since I took office, we have secured commitments and money already paid for $17 trillion. Think of it, 4 years, less than a trillion, 8 months, much more than $17 trillion is being invested in the United States, and it's now pouring in from all parts of the world. We've implemented the largest tax cuts in American history and the largest regulation cuts in American history, making this once and again the best country on earth to do business. And many of the people in this room are investing in America, and it's turned out to be an awfully good investment during this 8 month period. In my first term, I built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We had the best economy ever, history of the world. And I'm doing the same thing again, but this time it's actually much bigger and even better. The numbers far surpass my record-setting first term. On our southern border, we have successfully repelled a colossal invasion. And for the last 4 months, and that's 4 months in a row, the number of illegal aliens admitted and entering our country has been zero. Hard to believe, because if you look back just a year ago, it was millions and millions of people pouring in from all over the world, from prisons, from mental institutions, drug dealers. All over the world they came. They just poured into our country with the ridiculous open border policy of the Biden administration. Our message is very simple. If you come illegally into the United States, you're going to jail, or you're going back to where you came from, or perhaps even further than that. You know what that means. I want to thank the country of El Salvador for the successful and professional job they've done in receiving and jailing so many criminals that entered our country. And it was under the previous administration that the number became record-setting, and they're all being taken out. We have no choice. And other countries have no choice, because other countries are in the exact same situation with immigration. It's destroying your country, and you have to do something about it. On the world stage, America is respected again like it has never been respected before. You think about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or 1 year ago, we were a laughingstock all over the world.
I'm going to pause the president right there, because this has always been something that has resonated with me, and it's America's stature on the national stage. The United States of America is by far, but no measure, no comparison, the greatest nation that exists in the world. And with that, we need to be able to express our greatness. We need to be able to express that on the national stage. And if you had the pleasure of watching what the last 4 years were, you are very well aware, and it is very obvious and clear, that that's not what was happening under the Biden administration. We were not being seen as the strongest, best nation in the world. We, in fact, truly were a laughingstock. With Joe Biden and all of his travels, whether he was domestic or international, making a complete and total fool of himself and really making America look woefully incompetent. This cannot be understated anymore, and I'm glad the president called that out in front of the UN General Assembly yesterday.
At the NATO summit in June, virtually all NATO members formally committed to increased defense spending at my request from 2% to 5% of GDP, making our alliance far stronger and more powerful than it was ever before. In May, I traveled to the Middle East to visit my friends and rebuild our partnerships in the Gulf and those valued relationships with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE, and other countries are now, I believe, closer than ever before. My administration has negotiated one historic trade deal after another, including with the United Kingdom, the European Union, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, and many, many others. Likewise, in a period of just 7 months, I have ended seven unendable wars. They said they were unendable. You're never going to get them solved. Some were going for 31 years, two of them, 31, think of it, 31 years. One was 36 years. One was 28 years. I ended seven wars. And in all cases, they were raging with countless thousands of people being killed. This includes Cambodia and Thailand, Kosovo and Serbia, the Congo and Rwanda, a vicious, violent war that was, Pakistan and India, Israel and Iran, Egypt and Ethiopia, and Armenia and Azerbaijan. It included all of them. No president or prime minister, and for that matter, no other country has ever done anything close to that. And I did it in just 7 months. It's never happened before. There's never been anything like that. I'm very honored to have done it. It's too bad that I had to do these things instead of the United Nations doing them. And sadly, in all cases, the United Nations did not even try to help in any of them. I ended seven wars, dealt with the leaders of each and every one of these countries, and never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen, but she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter.
As you can hear, the president a little jovial there with his comments, but what he's saying is absolutely correct. And it's why there is, I think, so much animosity, at least from my vantage point and many on the right, so much animosity for these organizations like the so-called United Nations. I mean, when the president says, I'm you know, in the process of brokering these deals and trying to get this stuff dealt with, and I don't even as much get a phone call from the United Nations, I think it is a fair question to ask, what the hell is the organization doing? I mean, it's literally their name, the United Nations, which is, of course, a one-world government wink-wink nod-nod to globalism. But if Trump's negotiating with the litany of countries that he just listed off, and the UN is not involved, which, by the way, I think it's good that the UN isn't involved because you can guarantee that they would muck it up or screw it up somehow. But the fact that there was no intervention from the United Nations at all really goes to show you what this organization is. What this organization does, or probably more accurately to say, the lack thereof, the work that this organization does. And I'm glad that the president called them out at my open, talking about when President Trump speaks at events like this, you don't have to worry about him pandering or cowtailing. The UN deserves to be called out for that. The United Nations deserves to have their feet held to the fire as to why the United States is solving international conflict and the people in the blue helmets aren't doing, frankly, jack shit. Plain and simple. They're not doing anything. They're meeting at their great UN headquarters in New York City, which doesn't have working escalators or teleprompters. The microphones are so bad that reports from multiple media outlets indicated you could barely hear what the president was saying in the room. I mean, that's what the UN, that's what the UN's good for. That's exactly what's going on. It's pathetic. And I'm glad, again, what is the difference between strong and weak United States leadership? This is the example. This is what strength looks like. Calling out this entity, calling out this organization for its lack of action on a wide variety of matters. More from President Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. And by the way, it's working now. It just went on. Thank you. I think I should just do it the other way. It's easier. Thank you very much. I didn't think of it at the time because I was too busy working to save millions of lives. That is the saving and stopping of these wars. But later I realized that the United Nations wasn't there for us. They weren't there. I thought of it really after the fact, not during these negotiations, which were not easy. That being the case, what is the purpose of the United Nations? The
Bingo.
UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential, but it's not even coming close to living up to that potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war. The only thing that solves war and wars is action. Now, after ending all of these wars and also earlier negotiating the Abraham Accords, which is a very big thing for which our country received no credit, never receives credit, everyone says that I should get the Nobel Peace Prize for each one of these achievements. But for me, the real prize will be the sons and daughters who live to grow up with the mothers and fathers, because millions of people are no longer being killed in endless and unglorious wars. What I care about is not winning prizes, it's saving lives. We saved millions and millions of lives with the seven wars. And we have others that we're working on, and you know that. Many years ago, a very successful real estate developer in New York, known as Donald J. Trump, I bid on the renovation and rebuilding of this very United Nations complex. I remember it so well. I said at the time that I would do it for $500 million, rebuilding everything. It would be beautiful. I used to talk about, I'm going to give you marble floors. They're going to give you terrazzo. I'm going to give you the best of everything. You're going to have mahogany walls. They're going to give you plastic. But they decided to go in another direction, which was much more expensive at the time, and which actually produced a far inferior product. And I realized that they did not know what they were doing when it came to construction, and that their building concepts were so wrong, and the product that they were proposing to build was so bad and so costly. It was going to cost them a fortune. And I said, and wait till you see the overruns. Well, I turned out to be right. They had massive cost overruns and spent between $2 and $4 billion on the building and did not even get the marble floors that I promised them. You walk on terrazzo. Do you notice that? As far as I'm concerned, frankly, looking at the building and getting stuck on the escalator, they still haven't finished the job. They still haven't finished. That was years ago. The project was so corrupt that Congress actually asked me to testify before them on the tremendous waste of money, because it turned out that they had no idea what it was, but they knew it was anywhere between $2 and $4 billion, as opposed to $500 million with a guarantee. But they had no idea, and I said it cost much more than $5 billion. Unfortunately, many things in the United Nations are happening just like that, but on an even much bigger scale, much, much bigger. Very sad to see. Whether the UN can manage to play a productive role, I've come here today to offer the hand of American leadership and friendship to any nation in this assembly that is willing to join us in forging a safer, more prosperous world. And it's a world that we'll be much happier with. A dramatically better future is within our reach. But to get there, we must reject the failed approaches of the past and work together to confront some of the greatest threats in history.
I'm going to pause the president once again. You might be wondering why I'm playing commentary of him talking about the construction of a building and why that's relevant. And to me, it's incredibly relevant. It goes to show you the incompetence of an organization, the size and scope and scale of the UN. Plain and simple. This is an entity that spent, as the president notes, somewhere between $2 and $5 billion on some stupid building in New York City. Completely mismanaged the project. And this is the group that we have laid down our faith in. This is the group that we are hoping is going to unite all of the nations. This is the group that is going to be responsible for delivering some level of peace and security internationally. It's an incredibly relevant thing to bring up. I saw some commentary of those on the left. Oh, Trump's just pissed off because he didn't get the contract to build the UN building. No, I think it goes to show you the incompetence of this organization. And it's really, truly incompetence. And as the president noted, all they're good for is writing some stupid letter, putting the UN stamp on it, and sending it God knows where. They're a letter-writing organization. That's it. The president's talking about the issues that we're dealing with, you know, in modern society right now. And you would assume an entity like the United Nations, which is funded at the tune of trillions of dollars a year internationally, you would assume an entity like the United Nations would be playing an incredibly pivotal and important role in it. And the fact of the matter is, they're not. They sit around at their meetings. They sit with their stupid earpieces in, all of their 7,000 translators that are in the building. And for what? For nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing is done. Nothing changes. It's a serious problem. And I'm so glad that President Donald Trump is fearless, goes to the UN headquarters in New York. I don't know if it's their headquarters, but it's where they have all their meetings. Addresses the General Assembly and calls them out. Bravo to President Trump.
There is no more serious danger to our planet today than the most powerful and destructive weapons ever devised by man, of which the United States, as you know, has many. Just as I did in my first term, I've made containing these threats a top priority, starting with the nation of Iran. My position is very simple. The world's number one sponsor of terror can never be allowed to possess the most dangerous weapon. That's why, shortly after taking office, I sent the so-called Supreme Leader a letter making a generous offer. I extended a pledge of full cooperation in exchange for a suspension of Iran's nuclear program. The regime's answer was to continue their constant threats to their neighbors and U.S. interests throughout the region, and some great countries that are right nearby. Today, many of Iran's former military commanders, in fact, I can say almost all of them, are no longer with us. They're dead. And 3 months ago, in Operation Midnight Hammer, 7 American B-2 bombers dropped the 14 30,000-pound each bombs on Iran's key nuclear facilities, totally obliterating everything. No other country on earth could have done what we did. No other country has the equipment to do what we did. We have the greatest weapons on earth. We hate to use them. But we did something that for 22 years people wanted to do. With Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity demolished, I immediately brokered an end to the 12-day war, as it's called, between Israel and Iran, with both sides agreeing to fight no longer. As everyone knows, I have also been deeply engaged in seeking a ceasefire in Gaza. Have to get it done. Unfortunately, Hamas has repeatedly rejected reasonable offers to make peace. We can't forget October 7th, can we? Now, as if to encourage continued conflict, some of this body is seeking to unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state, the rewards would be too great for Hamas terrorists for their atrocities. This would be a reward for these horrible atrocities, including October 7th, even while they refused to release the hostages or accept a ceasefire. Instead of giving to Hamas and giving so much, because they've taken so much, they have taken so much. This could have been solved so long ago. But instead of giving in to Hamas's ransom demands, those who want peace should be united with one message: release the hostages now. Just release the hostages now.
Even with that, you had to wait. There was a delay between when the president said that and cheering started. That's how just stupid the United Nations is as an organization.
Come together, and we will come together. Going to get it done. We have to stop the war in Gaza immediately. We have to stop it. We have to get it done. We have to negotiate immediately. Have to negotiate peace. We got to get the hostages back. We want all 20 back. We don't want 2 and 4. As you know, I got, along with Steve Witkoff and others that helped us, Marco Rubio, we got most of them back. We were involved in all of them. But I always said the last 20 are going to be the hardest, and that's exactly what happened. We have to get them back now. We don't want to get back 2, and then another 2, and then 1, and then 3, have this process. No, we want them all back, and we want the actually 38 dead bodies back too. Those parents came to me, and they want them back, and they want them back very quickly and very badly, as though they were alive. They want them. They want them every bit as much as if their son or daughter were alive. I've also been working relentlessly stopping the killing in Ukraine. I thought that would be, of the 7 wars that I stopped, I thought that would be the easiest because of my relationship with President Putin, which had always been a good one. I thought that was going to be the easiest one. But you know, in war, you never know what's going to happen. There are always lots of surprises, both good and bad. Everyone thought Russia would win this war in 3 days, but it didn't work out that way. It was supposed to be just a quick little skirmish. It's not making Russia look good. It's making them look bad. No matter what happens from here on out, this was something that should have taken a matter of days, certainly less than a week. And they've been fighting for 3.5 years.
Again, let me stop the president once more. The United Nations, this war has been ongoing for 3.5 years. What have they done to move the ball down the field? What has this great entity that is the United Nations, what have they done to try and bring close to the conflict? The answer is, unfortunately, kind of a rhetorical question. They really haven't done a whole hell of a lot of anything.
Anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 young soldiers, mostly soldiers, on both sides, every single week, from 5,000 to 7,000 dead young people, and some in cities, much smaller numbers, where rockets are shot, where drones are dropped. This war would never have started if I were president. This was a war that should have never happened. It shows you what leadership is, what bad leadership can do to a country. Look what happened to the United States. And look where we are right now in just a short period of time. The only question now is how many more lives will be needlessly lost on both sides. China and India are the primary funders of the ongoing war by continuing to purchase Russian oil. But inexcusably, even NATO countries have not cut off much Russian energy and Russian energy products, which, as you know, I found out about 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't happy. Think of it. They're funding the war against themselves. Who the hell ever heard of that one? In the event that Russia is not ready to make a deal to end the war, then the United States is fully prepared to impose a very strong round of powerful tariffs, which would stop the bloodshed, I believe, very quickly. But for those tariffs to be effective, European nations all of you are gathered here right now would have to join us in adopting the exact same measures. I mean, you're much closer to the city. We have an ocean in between. You're right there. And Europe has to step it up. They can't be doing what they're doing.
For those listening, the Russian Federation delegation is they're holding up their iPhones, recording the president's commentary on the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, as the recording the president's comments, I'm sure, to send them to Putin or other party leadership. We'll continue with the comments from and the commentary from President Donald Trump as he, frankly, lays down the law on the United Nations. We'll get to some great comments also coming in on our Rumble live chat as well this morning. We'll get into those coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the fantastic team over at the law group here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. If you're a southeastern North Carolina resident, they're right in our backyard, located in downtown Wilmington, and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group, or I should say I, appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We are discussing President Donald Trump's commentary, his speech to the United Nations General Assembly this morning. Some good insight coming in on our Rumble live chat. The United Nations is just like NATO. It's an organization established for the globalists to do their own bidding. Absolutely. Both of these organizations, when you look at the grand scheme of things, pretty useless. I mean, you've got war raging all over the Middle East, all over portions of Europe, and it is the United States that is having to pull the two parties together. It is Donald Trump having a meeting with Putin in Alaska. It's Donald Trump meeting with Zelensky at the United Nations yesterday to bring it together. It's not the UN doing the bidding. It's Trump and America doing it. Another comment coming in, my cousin worked at the UN for 30 years, and after hearing him talk about it firsthand, I can say with confidence that everything y'all think about it, that being the UN, it is true. Unfortunately, that is the unfortunate reality of this entity and other entities like it. And so as we'll just continue rolling with it, another comment coming in, this is Trump's best speech ever. I mean, he didn't really leave much on the playing field. He didn't leave much on the court at the UN General Assembly. It's why I'm going to play the vast majority of it this morning, because happened in the middle of the day yesterday. Maybe you haven't had a chance to catch up on it. And I think it's important to hear the president's words, right? While it was broadcast live on pretty much every news network, because it's a big deal when Trump speaks to the UN, very few of them were replaying those clips throughout the day. Because again, they don't want to call out the UN. They're in the same boat. They love the inept nature. They love the one world government. They love the globalism that comes out of the UN. So they're not going to play clips or shine light on the president calling out the garbage that exists within the United Nations, right?
They're buying oil and gas from Russia while they're fighting Russia.
How stupid.
It's embarrassing to them. And it was very embarrassing to them when I found out about it, I can tell you that. They have to immediately cease all energy purchases from Russia. Otherwise, we're all wasting a lot of time. So I'm ready to discuss this. We're going to discuss it today with the European nations, all gathered here. I'm sure they're thrilled to hear me speak about it, but that's the way it is. I like to speak my mind and speak the truth. As we seek to reduce Amen. The threat of dangerous weapons today, I'm also calling on every nation to join us in ending the development of biological weapons once and for all. And biological is terrible, and nuclear is even beyond, and we include nuclear in that. We want to have a cessation of the development of nuclear weapons. We know, and I know, and I get to view it all the time. Sir, would you like to see? And I look at weapons that are so powerful that we just can't ever use them. If we ever use them, the world literally might come to an end. There would be no United Nations to be talking about. There would be no nothing. Just a few years ago, reckless experiments overseas gave us a devastating global pandemic. Yet despite that worldwide catastrophe, many countries are continuing extremely risky research into bioweapons and man-made pathogens. This is unbelievably dangerous. To prevent potential disasters, I'm announcing today that my administration will lead an international effort to enforce Biological Weapons Convention, which is going to be meeting with the top leaders of the world by pioneering an AI verification system that everyone can trust. Hopefully, the UN can play a constructive role, and it will also go be one of the early projects under AI. Let's see how good it is, because a lot of people are saying it could be one of the great things ever, but it also can be dangerous, but it could be put to tremendous use and tremendous good, and this would be an example of that. Not only is the UN not solving the problems it should too often, it's actually creating new problems for us to solve. The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled. Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. In 2024, the UN budgeted $372 million in cash assistance to support an estimated 624,000 migrants journeying into the United States. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out.
This was probably the most powerful thing to come out of the UN speech. The president absolutely excoriating the United Nations for funding mass illegal immigration all over the world. $372 million in cash to support illegal migration, illegal immigration, not just in the United States, but across the entire country. Why, ask me, why do you like President Donald Trump so much? Because of this. He is fearless, standing in front of these feckless, useless leaders at the UN and calling them out on their bullshit. Calling them out on the things that they are doing that are leading to the demise of countries all over the world. Nobody else is willing to say this. Nobody, literally not a single other world leader, is willing to say what Donald Trump did yesterday at the UN. Absolutely nobody.
The UN also provided food, shelter, transportation, and debit cards to illegal aliens. Can you believe that? On the way to infiltrate our southern border. Millions of people came through that southern border. Just a year ago, millions and millions of people were pouring in, 25 million altogether over the 4 years of the incompetent Biden administration. And now we have it stopped, totally stopped. In fact, they're not even coming anymore because they know they can't get through. But what took place is totally unacceptable. The UN is supposed to stop invasions, not create them, and not finance them. In the United States, we reject the idea that mass numbers of people from foreign lands can be permitted to travel halfway around the world, trample our borders, violate our sovereignty, cause unmitigated crime, and deplete our social safety net. We have reasserted that America belongs to the American people, and I encourage all countries to take their own stand in defense of their citizens as well. You have to do that because I see it. I'm not mentioning names. I see it, and I could call every single one of them out. You're destroying your countries. They're being destroyed. Europe is in serious trouble. They've been invaded by a force of illegal aliens like nobody's ever seen before. Illegal aliens are pouring into Europe. Nobody is ever, and nobody's doing anything to change it, to get them out. It's not sustainable. And because they choose to be politically correct, They're doing just absolutely nothing about it. And I have to say, I look at London, where you have a terrible mayor, terrible, terrible mayor. And it's been so changed, so changed. Now they want to go to Sharia law. But you're in a different country. You can't do that. Both the immigration and their suicidal energy ideas will be the death of Western Europe if something is not done immediately. They cannot, this cannot be sustained. What makes the world so beautiful is that each country is unique. But to stay this way, every sovereign nation must have the right to control their own borders. You have the right to control your borders, as we do now, and to limit the sheer numbers of migrants entering their countries and paid for by the people of that nation that were there and that built that particular nation at the time. They put their blood, sweat, tears, money into that country, and now they're being ruined. Proud nations must be allowed to protect their communities and prevent their societies from being overwhelmed by people they have never seen before, with different customs, religions, with different everything.
This is something important that you need to understand about the UN and about largely NATO and many of these other organizations. When we talk about, you know, one world government and globalism, these entities see a future where there are no such thing as borders, where there is no such thing as a passport, where there is no such thing as a visa program to, for, you know, travel visa or a student visa or anything like that. They want a world where anybody and everybody can travel anywhere, where no sovereign nation has any control over its immigration, where no sovereign nation has the ability to control who is coming, what ideology they're bringing with them. That's one of the major objectives and major goals of an entity like the United Nations. One world government, no borders, nothing. Anybody and everybody can just freely travel. And if you ask any questions, there's going to be a serious problem. Bravo to President Trump.
Where migrants have violated laws, lodged false asylum claims, or claimed refugee status for illegitimate reasons, they should, in many cases, be immediately sent home. And while we will always have a big heart for places and people that are struggling and truly compassionate, answers will be given. We have to solve the problem, and we have to solve it in their countries, not create new problems in our countries. And we are very helpful to a lot of countries that are just not able to send their people anymore. They used to send them to us in caravans of 25, 30,000 people each. These massive caravans of people pouring into our country, totally unchecked and unvetted, but not anymore. According to the Council of Europe in 2024, almost 50% of inmates in German prisons were foreign nationals or migrants. In Austria, the number was 53% of the people in prisons were from places that weren't from where they are now. In Greece, the number was 54%. And in Switzerland, beautiful Switzerland, 72% of the people in prisons are from outside of Switzerland. When your prisons are filled with so-called asylum seekers who repaid kindness, and that's what they did, they repaid kindness with crime, it's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. See, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell. In America, we've taken bold action to swiftly shut down uncontrolled migration. Once we started detaining and deporting everyone who crossed the border and removing illegal aliens from the United States, they simply stopped coming. They're not coming anymore. We're getting a lot of credit, but they're not coming anymore. This was a humanitarian act for all involved, because on the trips up, thousands of people a week were dying. Women were being raped. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Raped, horribly beaten, raped. On the trip up, the journey up, it was a long walk. It was a long, arduous journey, indeed. And it was also a historic victory against human trafficking throughout the region. What we did was a victory, and we saved so many lives of people that wouldn't make the journey. That journey was loaded up with death, loaded up with death. Dead bodies all along the roads of jungles to get up. They go through jungles, they go through areas so hot you couldn't breathe. They were dying of suffocation, areas so hot that you couldn't breathe. Dead bodies all over. By them not coming, we're saving tremendous numbers of lives. My people have done a fantastic job in doing what they did, and the American public agrees with it. I mean, I was very proud to see this morning I have the highest poll numbers I've ever had. Part of it is because of what we've done on the border. I guess the other part is what we've done on the economy. Joe Biden's policies empowered murderous gangs, human smugglers, child traffickers, drug cartels, and prisoners from all over the world. The previous administration also lost nearly 300,000 children. Think of that. They lost more than 300,000 children, little children, who were trafficked into the United States on the Biden watch, many of whom have been raped, exploited, and abused, and sold. Sold. Nobody talks about that. The fake news doesn't write about it. With many others, young children who are missing or dead. And we found a lot of these children and we're sending them back, and we've been sending them back to their parents. They said, nobody knows who they are. They said, where do you come from? And they'll give us a country and we'll find out and we'll figure it out and we'll bring them back to their homes. And the mother and father rush to the door and their tears in their eyes. They can't believe that they're seeing their son or daughter, their little son or daughter again. We've done almost 30,000 of them so far. Any system that results in the mass trafficking of children is inherently evil. Yet that is exactly what the globalist migration agenda has done, and it's what it's all about. In America, those days, as you know, are over. The Trump administration is working, and we are continuing to work to track down the villains that are causing this problem, and also, as I said, to get back the 30,000 we've already returned. Now I think we're going to have another. We're going to find a lot. You're not going to find all of them. 300, more than 300,000. They're lost or they're dead. They're lost or they're dead because of the animals that did this. To protect our citizens, I've also designated multiple savage drug cartels as forest. And you see this, and you see it happening right before your eyes. Let's put it this way. People don't like taking big loads of drugs in boats anymore. There aren't too many boats that are traveling on the seas by Venezuela. They tend not to want to travel very quickly anymore. And we've virtually stopped drugs coming into our country by sea. We call them the water drugs. They kill hundreds of thousands of people. I've also designated multiple savage drug cartels as far as foreign terrorist organizations, along with two bloodthirsty transnational gangs, probably the worst gangs anywhere in the world, MS-13 and Tren de Aragua. Tren de Aragua is from Venezuela, by the way. Such organizations torture, maim, mutilate, and murder with impunity. They're the enemies of all humanity. For this reason, we've recently begun using the supreme power of the United States military to destroy Venezuelan terrorists and trafficking networks led by Nicolas Maduro. To every terrorist thug smuggling poisonous drugs into the United States of America, please be warned that we will blow you out of existence. That's what we're doing. We have no choice. Can't let it happen. They're destroying. I believe we lost 300,000 people last year to drugs, 300,000. Fentanyl and other drugs. Each boat that we sink carries drugs that would kill more than 25,000 Americans. We will not let that happen. Energy is another area where the United States is now thriving like never before. We're getting rid of the falsely named renewables. By the way, they're a joke. They don't work. They're too expensive. They're not strong enough to fire up the plants that you need to make your country great. The wind doesn't blow. Those big windmills are so pathetic and so bad, so expensive to operate. Then they have to be rebuilt all the time, and they start to rust and rot. Most expensive energy ever conceived, and it's actually energy. You're supposed to make money with energy, not lose money. You lose money, the governments have to subsidize. You can't put them out without massive subsidies. And most of them are built in China, and I give China a lot of credit. They build them, but they have very few wind farms. So why is it that they build them and they send them all over the world, but they barely use them? You know what they use? Coal. They use gas. They use almost anything, but they don't like wind. But they sure as hell like selling the windmills. Europe, on the other hand, is a long way to go, with many countries being on the brink of destruction because of the green energy agenda. And I give a lot of credit to Germany. Germany was being led down a very sick path, both on immigration, by the way, and on energy. They were going green, and they were going bankrupt. And the new leadership came in, and they went back to where they were, with fossil fuel and with nuclear, which is good. It's now safe, and you can do it properly. But they went back to where they were, and they opened up a lot of different plants, energy producing plants, and they're doing well. I give Germany a lot of credit for that. They've said this is a disaster, what's happening. They were going all green. All green is all bankrupt. That's what it represents. And it's not politically correct. I'll be very badly criticized for saying it, but I'm here to tell the truth. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm in New York City. I'm feeling a lot safer. Crime, we're getting crime down. And by the way, speaking of crime, Washington, D.C. was the crime capital of America. Now it's a totally, after 12 days, it's a totally safe city. Everyone's going out to dinner. They're going out to restaurants. Your wife can walk down the middle of the street with or without you. Nothing's going to happen. My people have done a fantastic job. And yes, I called in the National Guard, and the National Guard took care of business. And they weren't politically correct, but they took care of business. We got 1,700 career criminals out, brought them back to where they came from, the countries where they came from, or put them in jails.
That's President Donald Trump at the United Nations General Assembly yesterday, hitting on a litany of issues that he believes are important, and I would tend to agree with as well. You're talking about, just kind of quickly recapping, you know, not contributing to peace deals. The UN had nothing to do with that. Calling out the UN for funding illegal immigration, spending hundreds of millions of dollars to allow mass illegal migration, not only in the United States, but all over the rest of the globe, calling that out, talking about these ridiculously stupid green energy policies, global warming this, global warming that. It's remarkable what President Trump was able to say and do at the UN General Assembly yesterday. Again, talking about the disastrous policies of the UN, and I'll end with this clip. This is the president talking about, again, climate change and the sham and the hoax that that thing is.
Global warming, not happening. You know, it used to be global cooling. If you look back years ago in the 1920s and the 1930s, they said global cooling will kill the world. We have to do something. Then they said global warming will kill the world, but then it started getting cooler. So now they could just call it climate change, because that way they can't miss. It's climate change, because if it goes higher or lower, whatever the hell happens, there's climate change. It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion. Climate change, no matter what happens, you're involved in that. No more global warming, no more global cooling, all of these predictions made by the United Nations and many others, often for bad reasons, were wrong. They were made by stupid people that have cost their country's fortunes and given those same countries no chance for success. If you don't get away from this green scam, your country is going to fail. And
plain and simple there from President Donald Trump. And as I had BBC News on this morning, I saw just before 5 o'clock that there's some new global warming report that's supposed to be out. I don't know if it's coming out later today or in the next couple of days, looking at climate change, the impacts of climate change and global warming as we head into the 2030s. So they're continuing down that path. They're continuing down this road, even as it's called out, even as the nonsense is pointed out, even as you've seen, and Trump points to Germany. And this is, you know, this happened and this transition started back a couple of years ago, and it's really come to fruition now. This was a country that decided they were going to completely step away from any sort of, you know, traditional form, traditional source of energy. They were going to go all green, solar, wind, so on and so forth. It was such a freaking disaster that you've now got Germany not only restarting some of their old either coal or gas-powered plants, but they're currently in the process, and some of them may be complete by now. I remember covering this on the radio years ago. But they are not only turning old facilities on, they are in the process of building new coal and gas fired power plants. They tried it. Germany gave it a shot. They went all in on green energy. They went all in on the world is coming to an end if we don't stop burning coal or natural gas or whatever. It didn't work. The country was struggling mightily because of those disastrous decisions by its, you know, chancellors at the time and the administration in charge. They saw the light. They saw how unsustainable that was long term, and they course corrected. So we have an example of, and I think everybody would agree that Germany is a well-developed country. Germany's not some weird, weird third world country. They are a fully developed society. They are a Western nation. They tried it and it didn't work. So why would we as the United Nations, why would we as the United States, which is a far larger country than Germany, why would we not learn from their failure? We've got casework. We've got now real fact and evidence proving how this stuff doesn't work, tried by another major country, and we don't take any stock in that? The previous administration doesn't say, Germany gave this a shot and it was a complete freaking failure. Maybe we shouldn't go down that same path. No, we need to try it ourselves. It needs to fail in the United States first, and then we'll go back to some semblance of normalcy and rationale with it. It's just pathetic. I'll have the link to the entire speech from President Donald Trump available over at my Patreon account for the show, patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can support the show financially, $5, $10 a month, as well as access to our monthly hangout, which will be taking place next Tuesday night. So stay tuned to your email or your Patreon account for a link to that, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Couple of quick things to hit before we get out of here this morning. Keeping an eye on the tropics once again, and things are absolutely warming up as we head into the latter parts of September. Two areas that are now being tracked by the National Hurricane Center, Invest 94 and Invest 93. Both of these have very strong chances of development over the next 5 to 7 days. In all likelihood, this the system further to the east will probably not have a direct impact, at least on the continental United States. However, this blob that's going to be popping up over the Caribbean, that is one that we'll definitely have to keep an eye out for. The models are really struggling with this, as these systems are predicted to be rather close. So this is definitely something that we're going to be watching in the coming days. If we were looking at some impacts here across southeastern North Carolina, we'd be looking into the early and middle parts of next week. So we'll keep a close eye on all of those details. Make sure you're following the show on Facebook and on X as well to stay up to date with that news outside of our live time slot here every weekday morning. A lengthy meeting for the Wilmington City Council last night. Social district approved. We'll get into some details on that coming up in the next couple of days. Also, some details out of the North Carolina General Assembly. Arenas Law, which we did cover yesterday here on the show, was successful in passing the North Carolina House yesterday afternoon. The final vote, 81-31 in the North Carolina House. It is now on Governor Josh Stein's desk, where he will decide whether he will sign or veto that legislation. Multiple Democrats coming across the aisle to vote in favor of this legislation. So a lot to track there as well. We've got a lot of fires currently burning. We'll keep track of all of them right here on the program. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit their website, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. The show streams live each and every weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and is available 24/7 in your favorite podcast app. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on the Nick Craig Show.